Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Janetta continues our series, Uniquely You.
We're in the midst of a series called Uniquely You. Together, we are on a journey to discover our shape, that which makes me and you unique. The first week and the second week were kicked off by Ken as he was talking about spiritual gifts. That is the S in the word shape. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to be used to minister to others and to build up the body of Christ. To build up the body of Christ. You know, Ken also gave us a test that we could take. And if you haven't taken it yet, there's the website so that you can do it. For those of you that have and have let us know about it, we want to say thank you. For those of you that haven't, just go do it. It would be helpful to you, and it certainly is, helps us to make a team even better. The last week, Jim talked about our heart, which is our passion and our abilities. That is the H and the A in that word shape. When we understand what makes our heart beat a little faster and we understand our abilities, that is the intersection of those things that we enjoy doing and that we do well, and those things that when we do them, we feel a sense of accomplishment. I don't feel a sense of accomplishment when I clean out a closet. It's just not one of those things. But when we understand the abilities that God has given us and we do them, even if they don't always turn out exactly right, we feel a sense of accomplishment. And we realize that we don't have to motivate ourselves to do it because we are working in our sweet spot. Jim challenged us with this statement. Can you imagine the joy that would be expressed as we gather together for worship every Sunday morning because we get to live out his purpose and his plan Monday through Saturday? That would be amazing. That is definitely a challenge. This week we're going to look at another part of our uniqueness. That's our personality, the letter P in the word shape. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I want to discover something and how valid it all is, I go to the internet. And so when I Googled how to discover your personality, I found all of these personality tests that I could take. So I did. The first personality test said, what extreme weather am I? And it told me that I am a tornado. The next one, everybody got that one, right? Who said amen? Two of you, or you. Then there was one that said, what country am I? I am Spain. Then there was what children's book character am I? I am Max in Where the Wild Things Are. I hope Max is the little person on top and not one of those ugly creatures. I don't even remember. Then there was one that said, what temperature am I? I discovered that I am 120 degrees Fahrenheit. I'll take that as a compliment. Then I discovered, what arts am I? And it said that I am theater. Now, this one was really challenging, but it was also pretty exciting. I discovered what Taylor Swift cat I was. And I am Meredith. First off, I'm not positive I could recognize Taylor Swift's stuff. Second, I didn't even know she had a cat, but I am Meredith. Then I discovered what sport I am. Now, this is the one I think is totally confusing. It said I'm volleyball. Anybody that kind of knows me knows that I have to be basketball, but the test said that I was volleyball. It's definitely confused. Then I looked at what pearl I was. I'm the black pearl. I think that's the most exotic. I'm not sure. Then what Disneyland character I was. I am Dumbo, the flying elephant. Oh, my word. Then what phone I was. I am an iPhone 6. Now, if you were here last week, I heard that Jim threw me under the bus when he said that I wasn't very good with computers. and he kind of was mean to me, but Jim may think that, but this test shows that I am very technologically inclined to be an iPhone 6. So the truth is, after taking all of these tests, I'm just confused. I don't know who I am. Seriously, have you ever felt like that? Like you just really didn't know who you were? That somewhere along life, you lost you? Anybody? Then I look at it and think, then who am I? Who are you? We have all these voices coming in on us deciding that we're an iPhone 6 and we're Dumbo the Flying Elephant and we're this and we're that and the other and we're this personality and we're that personality, and it's, oh, God, who am I? You know, Scripture tells us that God knows who I am, that God knows completely who you are. Listen again to some of these statements that Braden set up here. First one, oh Lord, you know everything about me. You know when I sit, when I stand, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away from you. Another one, you know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it. I can never escape from your presence, from your spirit. I can never get away. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit them together in my mother's womb. You are making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is amazing. You know what workmanship was amazing in that scripture? The workmanship that God created in me. The workmanship that God created in you is what the scripture is saying was amazing and wonderfully complex. Goes on, God, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had even passed. God created me. God created you in a wonderfully unique way. You see, God made no mistakes. No mistakes. Now, I used to think God did. That obviously God messed up. He either gifted me incorrectly or he made me the wrong sex, but somehow God messed up. The truth is, no matter what I thought, God did not mess up. God did not mess up in how he designed each of us to be just like we are. Scripture says, God knows who I am. God completely knows who I am. You see, everybody else out there knows this far. But God completely knows who I am. How in the world, then, can I discern what God knows about me? How can I get in line with the person that God originally created me to be? How can I get it? I'm going to show you just a small little thing that's a little tool. I want you to keep in mind, it's a little tool to help us to begin to understand a bit about who God created us to be in our personality. Let me quickly go through it. This is called the power of our personalities. You know, there are ways that we just differ. We just differ. We differ in our natural differences. That's just our personality. You're not going to find anybody else's personality exactly like yours. That's the uniqueness. We differ in our emotional perspectives. Based upon our life experiences, things are different. My viewpoint of the world is different because of the places I have lived. Makes it different. My viewpoint of life is different because of the crap that I've had in my life. It's different. It's unique. And God knows all that. Our sexual differences, and I want you to know that's not male and female kind of stuff. I'm talking about those inner passions that God puts within us. Makes us different. Our lifestyles, our pastime things that we like to do makes us different. There's nothing quite like watching a basketball game. I love it. Gilbert would say, there's nothing quite like riding a Harley. He loves it. We're different. Why are we different? We're different because of our environments. We're different because of our experiences. And we're different because of our expectations of life. Makes us different. Some observations that I want you to keep in mind about personalities in general. One, they are unique, and thank God, because we wouldn't want a whole bunch of any of us running around. It's much better that there's only one of me and only one of you. Our personalities have both strengths and weaknesses. Our personalities tend to complement our spouses if we're married, and they tend to complement our BFFs. Look at it. You very seldom see two people who are just alike running around doing things together. It's people that are different that tend to run around and do stuff together. Our personalities influence how we relate to others, and our personalities need to be understood. We need to understand ourselves. Wait, not like the psychobabble stuff around. We need to understand ourselves as God sees us. That's a huge difference. Huge difference. And then we must work to understand others, because it is our role as Christ followers to help each personality live for God in the way that God designed them. So let's look at some. I'm going to take all of our personalities, as complex as we are, and I'm going to divide them into four quadrants. There are the sanguines, there are the cholerics, there are the phlegmatics, and there are the melancholies. I don't care if you've never heard the word before or if you've heard tons of times this word. I want to quickly go through what each one of these things are, keeping in mind this is simple and God has created us how? Oh, come on. Keeping in mind this is simple and God's created us how? Complex and unique. So here we go. We look at sanguines. Sanguines are people that like to have fun. As we go through this, let people pop into your mind that you think this represents. Just off the top of my head, do you know what one of my most awesome things to do is? Is to have fun. Who said the word? Oh, you gotta have fun. What difference does it make if you don't have fun? That has determined some of the churches that I've been a part of. If they haven't allowed me to have fun, guess what? One of us had to leave. Okay, we look at cholerics. Those are people who like to have control. Things are always managed by them. We look at melancholies. Those are people who like to have perfection. Was that you? Oh, that was you. Oh, no. You're not a melancholy. Are you a melancholy? Oh, well, never mind. When we like to have phlegmatics, those are the people that like to have calm in their life. Relationally, we can look at these same four quadrants. Sanguines are people-oriented. Now, this does not mean they're an extrovert or an introvert. This means this is where they get their energy. Their energy. You can zap a sanguine if you take them away from people. They're energized by people. Cholerics are energized by production. It has to be accomplishing something. Melancholies are energized when there is a plan that can come together. And phlegmatics are energized when everybody just gets along, when there's peace. Now, as you look at that, each one of those quadrants has some strengths and it has some weaknesses. First, the strength of a sanguine is that they are spontaneous. It makes no difference. We can just stop on a dime and go and do something else. A weakness is that they don't have concern. Now wait, Before you go too far with that, let me explain what that means. You don't have concern. It means that you can come up and stand in front of a sanguine and you can tell them all the hurts and pains of your life story, and they are very sincere with it. They care deeply about it. But then you can leave and another person come and stand there and they care about that one and you've moved on, so they forget. Doesn't mean they didn't care really. It just means they tend to care with whatever's right there. Weakness, carrying out their concern. A choleric, a strength is that they project confidence. If all of a sudden we had to get out of this building because of a fire, it would be the cholerics that would stand up and say, "This way, this is where we go." And the rest of us would fall in line. Because they say it with such confidence. A weakness, they lack compassion. Again, let me explain. What it means is you can come up and pour your heart out to somebody who is a choleric and they'd go like this. "Okay, that's okay. We're done now. Pick up your bootstraps and let's go. You can deal with this. Go. Fight. Win." They're not going to allow you to waller in feeling low. You can tackle the problem. They're cholerics. Or you can have melancholies. A melancholy is a person who's very sensitive to others and situations. However, you will never know it because they carry it deep inside. You won't understand how much they really feel. A weakness, they have a critical spirit. Again, let me explain. It doesn't mean that they're telling you everything that's wrong about you. It means that a melancholy person always sees the areas where you can improve. In a program, in a service, in a slide presentation, in the runnings of a car, it doesn't matter. They are critical because they see that you can improve. Then we look at phlegmatics. A phlegmatic person brings stability into everything. Phlegmatics are those faithful people that just keep hanging around, kind of no matter what, because they want the peace. A weakness, they will compromise too easily because they want peace. When you are working with other personalities, when you're ministering together with other personalities, understand that a sanguine, can you go to the next one? There you go. That a sanguine needs variety and flexibility, and you've got to help a sanguine remember dates. They will always be the one that rounds up numbers because they can't remember the detail of it. I didn't spend $15.49 on something. I spent $15.49. Yeah, that's closer to $15, or, well, maybe somebody, if I say $10. I spent $10. Well, what was it actually? It was $15.49. Oh, wait, that rounds up to $20. Oh, I'm sorry, I spent $20. It will always be the roundings because details are a distant thought. Praise a sanguine for accomplishments, and don't even have to be exact about it. Just tell them they did a good job. "That was great, Gail." If Gail was a sanguine, she'd go, "Okay, thanks." What'd she do? I don't know. She sat there. That's good. You don't have to be as detailed. A choleric, you want to insist on two-way communication because remember, they're the people that are very confident, so they can just talk right over you with their confidence. Sometimes they'll need to shut up and listen. Realize that a choleric is not prone to compassion like I shared with you before. Doesn't mean they don't care. Just means they believe you can conquer the world. So go conquer it. They need action and they need accomplishments. You don't want to keep a choleric in a position where all they're doing is maintaining. You will drain them. We look at the melancholy. And remember that a melancholy is very sensitive, but I told you, you won't know it. Therefore, a melancholy will be extremely hurt, and you won't be able to address the hurt because it's buried down inside of them. You want to compliment a melancholy sincerely. A sanguine, good job. Sanguine responds, thank you. A melancholy, good job. A melancholy will say, for what? And you better be pretty exact, otherwise they'll think that you were lying about it. How does a sanguine compliment a melancholy then? Because they don't remember the details, they just know they liked it. How does the melancholy believe the sanguine's not lying? Because they have to have details. We have problems. Or you have a phlegmatic. Don't expect enthusiasm from a phlegmatic. Can you all tell when I'm excited? Can you all tell when Gilbert's excited? No. I used to say, Gilbert, just give me a little jump. Allow a phlegmatic to make decisions. Don't make them all for them just because they're quiet and I'll be the last to speak. Encourage them to accept responsibility because they won't run to it. You have to help them. Give them time and opportunity to do stuff. Don't run them over. You know, as godly leaders, that's all of you. As Christ-following people who want others to be discipled, that's all of you. Here's what you need to understand about yourself. If you are a sanguine, understand that you lead other people through influence. That's what you do. If you are a choleric, you lead through intimidation. Not in a bad way. We just all think you got it, so we're afraid to stand up, maybe. You got it. If you're a melancholy, you lead through investigation so that when you make a decision, we can trust that you have researched all the answers first. When you're a phlegmatic, you're in the trenches right beside. You lead through involvement. What I want you to know is that each personality can and should lead and make disciples. You're just going to do it differently. So there's no one way that we are to act. We are to find out who God originally intended us to be and then live in that. While that was a very simple overview of personalities, I want you to understand a little bit about the cautions. I have two. The first caution is don't box people in. Don't box people in. God has created us, as that verse says. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How in the world, if God has made us so complex, how could we ever think we understand everything about somebody else when we can't even get it all about ourselves? Don't box people in. Let God do work in their lives. Once you box somebody in, you are keeping God out. You're saying God doesn't have the power to develop that person in the way that only God can develop them, because God is the only one who knows everything about that person. The only one. There's no internet test. There's not even one that I'm going to give you. There's no book that you can read that is going to tell you all about yourself as God has originally created you to be. They are only tools for you to use as you study about God and yourself together. That's all. Second, as you study about yourself and God together, don't ever, ever, ever say, well, that's just how I am. Sorry I offended you. That's just how I am. Sorry you think that about me. That's just how I am. The last two verses of what Braden shared with us said this: "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." In other words, we can never stop growing and developing into who God originally intended us to be. Make sense? Let me show you a sampling of how these things that we've been talking about fit together. We've been talking about our spiritual abilities, our heart, our abilities, our personalities, and they all interlink to help us to be effective as ministers, as disciples of Jesus. Starts like this, three circles. You have the circle of personality. Personality is all that stuff we talked about. It is your weaknesses, and it's your strength, and it's all that uniqueness of how you're made up. It's your general makeup. We have the circle of ability. Ability is your competence. Oh, but guess what else? It's also your incompetence. Then we have the circle of maturity. That circle right there represents our character. And that is grounded in our obedience to Christ, which comes out of our intimacy with Christ. Those three circles overlap. Do you see that little spot right in the middle where it's the darkest? That spot right there, when the three circles overlap and we are exercising all three of those circles in our life, that spot is where our effective ministry occurs. However, as humans, we tend to flow out of two of those circles and not three. When we flow out of any two of those circles at one time, over a period of time, we have trouble. Let's say that we start out and we're going to flow through, give me the next slide. We're going to flow through the two circles of personality and maturity. That means that we're understanding how God's made us and we interact really well with other people. We got it. And to anybody, and even to us, there's this spirit around them that says they love Jesus. We know that. But they lack an ability where they are. So what they experience is incompetence. Because they are, the personality and the maturity, they just don't have the skill. You're incompetent. So we have to do some skill development. Do you know what's said about somebody that flows out of those two circles over a period of time? It'll say, "But they're such a good person. Don't hurt them. They mean well. Their heart is right. They're just not effective." Guess what? We're doing a disservice. Because God expects us to flow out of the middle. Two circles lead to trouble. Or we can flow out of these two circles. We can flow out of ability and maturity. Ability means we got the skills, man. We can do it. We're rocking it with getting a job done. And there's no doubt that we love Jesus. But I don't understand how I come across to people, how they're hurt or offended or misunderstood by me. People will come around you for a while, but they won't stay around you because we hurt, we offend, we don't understand. Do you know what's said about a person who flows out of those two circles over a long period of time? They'll go, "Oh, But they're so talented. It's a shame, really. They're so talented. Wonder why they couldn't be more effective in meeting people. A person that flows like that over a long period of time feels total frustration because they got the stuff. They just don't have the personality, understanding. They need the gift of self-awareness. Self-awareness is the most painful gift you can ever get. Nobody likes it. But when you get it, and it's backed with God's scripture, hurtful though it is, you're a better person for it. Or you flow out of these two circles. Sad to say, in the church world, that's where we tend to go. We go to people who have the magnetic personality and can draw people around and can interact and talk with them, and they've got abilities out the wazoo. So they step into places of influence. Could be us. But if you flow out of those two circles over a long period of time, do you know what happens? You have moral failure. Moral failure is not just sexual. Moral failure is very deep. Moral failure can be where you're another person at home than you are publicly. Moral failure can be that while you talk about God and all these things in your private life, none of it's there. It can be how you deal with your finances, maybe a little shady. Maybe you cheat a little bit on this stuff. Maybe you cut corners at work. Maybe you are addicted to things that you shouldn't be. Anything. From alcohol to in-depth pornography means that your spiritual maturity needs to have some development. When somebody flows out of those two circles over a long period of time, what we say about them is, I don't get it. They had it all. But who knows all about us? Who knit us together? Who formed that inner being? God did. So the only way you're going to know about all of that is that you and God had better spend some time together. And you look at that. You want to live a fruitful, impacting life? This is how it goes together. It starts out with, keep going, your spiritual maturity, which is your intimacy with Christ. Where's that? On the radar screen of everything, where's that? Are you allowing God and God's people to speak into your life? Are you allowing the scriptures to permeate down deep? To hit those areas that you can hide from everybody else, but they're there and God knows? It's grounded. It starts with our spiritual maturity. Then you add to that your understanding of your personality. How you come across, how God's designed you. What's it all about? With you. Then you add your ability or your competence. You know what you then have? You will have an impact. You'll have an impact on your family, your work, your church, your community. You have an impact. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is, number one, that we will be a people, me included, who continually pursue who God originally intended us to be, no matter what life brings. Life happens. It's the way it is. We live in a sinful world. Life happens. But when we pursue who God originally intended us to be before all that junk came out, and in spite of life, We then have, listen, we then have freedom to live. Freedom to live. Not underneath the circumstances, this is the best that I can do. But freedom to be above them. Because we get all this. That's amazing. And that's something that's only given to the disciples of Jesus. Second prayer is that we will be people who continually help others pursue who God originally intended them to be. You see, if we do that for others, we have now given them freedom to live. Scripture's going to come up on the wall. The last two verses again of Psalms 139. If you ever wanted to memorize a passage of Scripture, just to have it permeate through you, Psalms 139 is pretty cool. I'd like for us to read this together. Everything's grounded in letting God search you. Read it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. You know what's really cool? There's another verse in Scripture that's found in John. It says that God wants us to live an abundant life. Just so you know, abundant life doesn't mean that you got everything you want, or that everything goes right, or that you have no problems. Abundant life means that you are in touch with who God originally intended you to be, in spite of life, and that then you are helping others to come to know that same thing, so that together you can live in freedom. That is how you make a difference in your family, in your work, in your church, and in your community. God has called us to be those kind of people. Search me, O God. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more, visit us at olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for one of our worship gatherings. Thanks again for listening.